We've been studying in the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights. Amen. We'll stay away from the book of Ephesians. Amen. Brother James be getting on me again. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2. Amen. Good to see you here. Mark showed up this morning. We sat on the porch a little bit and we could hear music down the road down there. He said, man, won't we just come out here and sit out here and you just take the day off and let somebody else do it? I said, man, they might be how to do it on your job, but we don't do it like that around here. Amen. Might be some people that sit around and do nothing. I don't know. Luke, Aaron, I don't know. McKenzie, I don't know who he might be. Really. But I just can't get by like that. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2. Amen. Probably Mark the one to be sitting around letting everybody work. I don't know. Verse number 9. Man, it's good to be in church. Amen. Good to serve a good God. Amen. Amen. Genesis 2. So we've been looking at this thing, a little bit of the reiteration of chapter 1 of the creation that God gave us in the first chapter. I want to call your attention to verse number 9. I read this the other day. About everything I'm going to preach this morning stole from somebody else. Amen. I'm just going to load it in my gun and shoot it. Amen. That's good, though. Amen. I think it is. Genesis 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it was the Lord that planted this garden and planted these trees that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. And in the midst of that garden, there was the tree of life and also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Take your Bibles with me and turn with me to the book. Hold your place in Genesis. We'll be preaching out of there. Look in Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. So God planted a garden. And within the midst of that garden, He planted a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's pleasant for sight, good for food in the context that both those trees were. Acts chapter number 5. Right after the gospel accounts, you find the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse number 30. Acts 5, verse 30. The Bible says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom He slew and hanged on a tree. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom He slew and hanged on a what? A tree. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost that inspired the writers, those that spoke the Word of God, that when He spoke of Jesus dying on that old cross, He speaks of it as a tree. A tree. 1 Peter chapter number 2. It's all right when babies cry, amen. Sometimes I want to cry, don't you, amen? There's nobody that ever totes me off. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Amen. I'm glad we got babies at church, amen. Glad we got some people at church to worship the Lord with. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. It was one that bore our sins, and He bore them in His own body, and He bore them on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Look back in Genesis chapter number 2. The Lord Jesus Christ hung on a tree. When God planted a garden He planted trees. In the midst of that garden, he planted a tree of life and the tree of knowledge and good and of evil. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's help this morning before we begin to preach. Brother Jeff Thomas, how about pray for us, brother? Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, today. Help your people. Yes, thank you, Lord, for it. Touch those that are out sick. Help them. Word of God, go forward. Accomplish. Yeah, help them, Lord. Help them at their house, homes, wherever they might be. Amen. All of God's people said,
amen.
God planted a tree. Several trees he planted, but I want to call your attention to the one in verse number 9 of Genesis chapter number 2, and that's the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. When the Lord spoke through the writers and those that spoke and penned down the Word of God in the book of Acts, of course, and the one we read in 1 Peter, it spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ also dying on a tree. Have you ever thought why the cross of the Lord was spoken of as a tree? Of course, a cross, you have the middle beam and the beam that runs across where our Lord and Savior hung and bled and died for the sins of mankind. But the Holy Ghost called it a tree. And I believe when we look back in the book of Genesis and the first mention of the trees that are mentioned, we can glean some insight and some comparisons and contrast of the tree of Calvary and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Comparisons and contrast between the two trees. That tree on Calvary's hill. And that tree in the midst of the garden of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. First thing I want you to see about the contrast between the two trees is that these two trees were planted. And the first one was planted by God. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 9. The Bible said, and out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and a tree for food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was God the Father himself that planted the first tree. I mean, the tree was placed there by the Maker, not Adam. Adam didn't place that tree there. Adam had nothing to do with that tree. It was God in the beginning that planted that tree in the midst of that garden. Amen. Hey, but the second tree, the tree of Calvary, the tree that our Lord died on and shed his blood for you and I. Hey, it was planted not by God, but it was planted by his creation. It was planted by man. And the contrast between the two trees is one was placed there by God and the other was placed there by man. And the one that was placed there by man was the one that our Savior bled and died upon. What a contrast between the two trees. The second one was planted by man. And the one our Lord was nailed upon. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33 said, and there they crucified him. And when you see that first tree and it was planted and placed by God and nurtured and grew by the good grace of God. That second tree, the contrast between the first, it wasn't placed by God. It was placed in that hole by man. It was man that nailed our Savior on that tree and resurrected. That tree up and put it down in the ground, and his hands, you can just see him being ripped asunder, amen. Hey, by the nails that he was pierced, him, amen, his hands and his feet. It was placed there by man to crucify our Lord and Savior. What an awful tree that man planted. It wasn't planted the way that God designed the first tree to be planted. Amen. They crucified him there. It was the human hands that had delivered him. It was human hands that devised the plan to place him on the cross. It was the human hands that provided and erected that cruel tree on Calvary's hill. It was human hands that went out and cut it down and de-limbed it. Amen. And placed our Lord and Savior there. Hey, that second tree was planted by God's creation to crucify our Lord. It was the hands of the creature, not the Creator, that placed that second tree there. Not only do I see the contrast between the people that planted the two trees, but there's also a contrast in how pleasant it was to look upon. You know, the Bible said in Genesis, look in Genesis 3 and verse 6. We're talking about the first tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, comparing and contrasting it to the tree that our Lord died on. In Genesis 3 and 6, the Bible said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to what? The eyes. This tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Bible said that she saw it. And when she saw that tree, it was pleasant to her eyes. I don't know exactly what the tree looked like, but it was beautiful to the eyes. It was beautiful to look upon. It was so beautiful that it sucked in Eve to look at it and look over it. Amen. It was a beautiful tree to look upon. Hey, but that second tree, in contrast, it was not a beautiful sight. Amen. Hey, just as the first tree, in contrast, was planted by man, and the second by God, and the second was planted by man. That first tree was pleasant. Amen. Hey, God planted it to be beautiful to look upon. Hey, but that second tree where Jesus Christ hung and died, it was not a pleasant sight at all. It was an awful sight for mankind, even to look upon and see the destruction of our Savior. Amen. Wasn't nothing pleasant about it? I mean, think about that tree, that second tree that was planted by man. It was a tree where they saw a suffering Savior. I mean, go in Mount Zion, look at the tree there, amen. By faith that what the Scripture says, hey, well, they planted the Lord, amen. They put Him there. And it wasn't nothing pleasant to look upon. It wasn't like the beauty of the one God made. It was the one that man created, man hewn down, and man made, and hung the Lord there on it and placed Him in that ground. It was a suffering Savior. It wasn't a beautiful sight. Amen. He was naked, amen, and beaten, amen, as a pulp for you and I. It wasn't pleasant at all to look upon. Amen. In shame, we'd turn our eyes away from it today when we think about the fact that how our Lord and Savior died. It wasn't beautiful. It was a suffering Savior there. Hey, in other words, there's a suffering Savior there, but can you see the crowd around that was out mocking Him, amen? It was a vulgar crowd. It wasn't nothing pleasant to look at. All the filthy language and the things and the accusations they threw at our Lord when He hung there open before mankind. It wasn't pleasant to look upon. I'm sure His mother, amen, wanted to look away, but she stood there at the foot of the cross, amen, looking at her Son died for the sins of mankind. It wasn't nothing pleasant to look about, amen. What a vulgar crowd that's gathered there. The suffering Savior there. Hey, there's two thieves on one side of the Savior, amen. Hung up amongst the filth of this whole world. People that had stolen, amen, and were rightly accused for their death. But here He is and the blood flowing now. It's not pleasant to the sight, amen. It's very contrast from the first tree that God created. Two thieves, a bloody Savior. Amen. The darkness for 3 hours. Amen. It was agony beyond view. What a contrast of the two trees. Isaiah 53 and 2 says, "And there is no beauty that we should desire Him." When you read Isaiah 53 and it speaks about prophetically about that death of the Savior and how God laid the wrath of God upon the Son of God, amen. It was no beauty that we should desire Him. It wasn't a beautiful sight at all. It wasn't like the first tree that God made. Well, God makes things a whole lot different than the world does, don't He? It's a contrast between the two trees. One was placed by God. The other one was placed by man. One was pleasant to the sight and the other one was beyond viewing. We not only see that contrast, but number three, we see the contrast of the first tree that God forbade man to eat of it. Look back in Genesis 2 and 17. When it came to that first tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God spoke to Adam and He said, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God forbade man to eat of the first tree. That tree that God placed there that was pleasant and very beautiful, and God made it and God formed it and God put it there. He put it there just for man's viewing and not for man to eat. Hey, but that old second tree, that God help, amen, mankind, hey, put the Lord on and buried Him and raised Him up there, amen, and afflicted Him that was not pleasant to look upon. Hey, God desires all to come eat of this tree today. Hey, God wants all to come. What a contrast between the two. Yes, it was an awful picture of what man done to the Savior. Hey, but God wants all to come and eat of this tree. Hey, God wants none to stay away. He wants all to come and partake and freely take of the tree of life, amen. What a contrast between the two trees. A complete opposite, amen. A man is freely invited to eat of this tree. You know what the psalmist said in Psalms 34 and 8? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know, God wants all to come eat of that tree. You know, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all that should come to repentance. And God made one in the beginning. He said it was pleasant. It was not to be ate of. The day you ate thereof, you would die. But the tree of Calvary, where the Savior was resurrected. Hell between heaven and earth. Hey, bloody and afflicted with a vulgar crowd there. Hey, God wants all to come and take of that tree freely. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 14 and verse 17, speaking of that great supper, He said, come, for all things are ready. What a contrast between the two trees. Amen. One that was resurrected, amen, by God. One that was raised by man and put into the dirt, amen, where our Savior was crucified. Hey, one was pleasant for the eyes, and the other one was so awful, amen, it was even hard to look upon without blushing in your face. Hey, one was forbidden to eat of, and the other one, God says, hey, come and take of the water of life freely, amen, that God might give life to mankind. Come take of the tree. What a contrast. Think back to the first tree. Look in Genesis chapter number 1. Check Genesis 3 and 1. When it came to the first tree, Satan wanted man to partake of it. We're talking about the contrast between the two. The first tree, where God had forbidden man to eat thereof, because He said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. This second tree, this first tree, once again, we see in chapter 3 of Genesis in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Do you know when it comes to the first tree, amen, that God had forbidden man to eat thereof because He knew that the day he ate thereof, he would surely die, that this is the tree that Satan wants man to eat of? You know, you know what you'll find out about Satan? He's completely against everything God's for. I mean, God says don't do this, and the devil say why not? God says do this, and the devil will say don't do it. Amen. He's complete opposite of everything God wants. Amen. God made a tree and He planted it out there in the garden and He formed it. Amen. It was pleasant. It was beautiful. Amen. Amen. It was to be forsaken for eating. Amen. But here's the devil coming up and said, hey, why don't you partake of the tree? Hey, but on the second tree, on Golgotha's hill, the place of the skull, the devil wants all to be blinded of coming to that tree. He says, yeah, eat of this one, Adam and Eve. You can have all you want. But of the tree of life, amen, when the Son of God was resurrected upon and He died on the cross for you and I. Hey, the devil says, stay away, don't take of it, amen. Where God's saying, come and eat of this tree, you can have it all and have life. The devil says, stay away. For the devil's about blinding the minds of them that believe not. He wanted to blind them to eat of the tree they shouldn't, and he wants us to stay away from the tree that we should partake of. How many people are dying and going to hell today because they're staying away from the tree on Golgotha's hill? The devil, the enemy of God, is doing all he can to keep people from eating the right tree and eating the wrong one. Do you know eating of this first tree brought Adam and Eve and mankind death? You remember what he said? The day you eat thereof, Genesis 2 and 17, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 3, amen, when the devil convinces them to eat of the wrong tree, they eat of it. And you know what they do? They surely die. By man's eye, it doesn't look like they died until a little bit later on when the age caught up with them and they died. And they were made to live forever, but they died. But you know what? There was more than a physical death that took place later on in their life. There was a spiritual death that took place on the moment they ate that tree. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That day that they ate, something died. Something within mankind died. Amen. It was the Spirit of God where God formed man. You remember how out of the dust of the ground and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the man became a living soul. Hey, his body was still there. It eventually died off. Hey, but the Spirit of God on the inside, hey, that communion with the Lord, it died off. Amen. And that's why we need to be born again today. Hey, that tree bore death to mankind. Amen. But in the contrast, amen. Hey, the devil wants you to eat of the one that'll kill you, but he don't want you to eat of the one that'll give you life. Hey, the devil's standing and baiting us. Eat of this tree. Eat of this tree. Enjoy your life. Eat and drink and be merry, for the more you die. Hey, what does it really matter? Just sow your wild oats and live your life. The devil's trying to get all to eat of the wrong tree today. And oh, how many have taken the bait of Satan and have eaten of the tree where he has pulled them towards. Hey, but thank God some have partaken of the tree of life. That tree, amen, where the Savior died for mankind. Amen, this tree can bring spiritual life to mankind. Eating the second tree brings life and salvation to mankind. Hey, you remember what Jesus said? Listen to this. You can turn it if you like or write it down. John chapter number 6. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples that day. Of course, the Catholic institution got it all messed up. But there's a great truth here. John chapter 6 and verse 53. The Bible said, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. People say, well, we to eat, that's cannibalism. We to drink his blood, surely that's not right, amen. He's not talking about eating his fleshly body and drinking his fleshly blood. Hey, because of what he said in verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh. Profit of nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He was speaking spiritually of taking of that tree. Hey, taking of his body, taking of his life. Hey, the devil said, eat the wrong one and stay away from the right one. Amen. And he's still telling people today, you don't need to be saved. You don't need to come to Jesus. You can make it your own way. He's a liar and the father of it. Amen. It's a contrast between the two trees. One was planted by God. The other one was placed in a hole by man. The one was pleasant to the eyes and one was awful to look upon. Hey, one was forbidden to eat of and the other one was to be taken freely. Hey, one the devil says eat and the other one he says stay away from. Instructing mankind to die without Jesus Christ. You know what else we see about the contrast between the two trees? Look in Genesis chapter number 3. Look in verse number 23. After man had sinned and surely died. The Bible said in verse 23 of Genesis 3. Therefore the Lord God sent him from the garden of Eden. To till the ground from whence it was taken. And the Bible said he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims. And a flaming sword. Which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Can't read that without thinking about old Chandler. Brother Chandler said something about that flame. Here's the first created man driven out of the garden from the place where his walk with God. He's looking back at those flaming cherubims and he's looking into that garden that he can't come in. And there's something about a fire that just draws people in to stare and muse. Something within man and his creation and from his creator that God given him that you look back from the first man that he's just looking in that flame, looking for hope, trying to get back what he lost. We see a contrast here. The first tree turned Adam out of the garden, out of paradise. The garden. The Bible called it paradise. He driven him out of the Garden of Eden. The Bible said out of the Garden of Eden. And he turned him away from paradise. His paradise that God had given him. His place of comfort, his place of communion and walk with God. Amen. In the contrast, amen, the first tree ran man out of paradise. But on the second tree where the Savior died, amen. Hey, the repented sinner found that he can get back into paradise, amen. Hey, what a contrast between the two trees. Hey, Adam and Eve ate of the wrong one and they were kicked out of paradise. But there was old Savior where he was hung by mankind and placed on that old tree that was awful to look upon. Amen. It wasn't pleasant to the sight. Hey, but it can bring life to those that have come. Hey, one of those thieves on one side of the Lord. He repented of his life and said, hey, this man receives nothing. He's not getting his just due. Hey, but we're getting exactly what we do. And a repentant heart, he looked at the Lord and he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And it was the Lord and Savior that looked back at that thief and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hey, one tree kicked man out of paradise, but the other tree brought man into paradise. Thank God for the contrast of the two trees. Thank God there's hope for mankind today. The repented sinner can eat of the second tree and have paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We see the contrast between the two trees. But not only is there a contrast, but there's some comparison between the two. Some resemblances of the two trees. But you know, we've already made a little bit mention of it, but you know that both trees were planted within a garden. The Garden of Eden. The first tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. God planted it in a garden. Do you know where the second tree was planted? Well, you think, well, maybe God had something to do with his book, the way this thing all worked out. How you see the contrast between the trees and what God could do with one from the other. And not only you see the contrast, but you see the resemblances. When God planted a tree, in the Garden of Eden, he planted a tree of knowledge of good and evil. That second tree was planted in a garden. Amen. Hey, the Bible said in John chapter 19 and verse 41, now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. It was a garden in the place where that second tree was planted, just like the first. Hey, what God said, what was destroyed in the first garden on a tree, I can reinstate on the second tree in a second garden. Amen. Hey, God was reversing what the first Adam had done by bringing in the last Adam to correct his sin. Hey, what resemblances we see within the tree. The first Adam and the last Adam all both died within a garden. Amen. Hey, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45, that's what he calls the Lord and Savior, the second Adam. Hey, both of them died in a garden. Amen. It was the Garden of Eden where mankind named the wrong tree where he surely died. But it was on that second tree that was placed in a hole by man. That wasn't pleasant to look upon. But it was in that tree, on that tree, in that garden where the Son of God died for the sins of mankind.
Amen.
Oh, what hope we found within the garden. Both trees was placed in a garden and planted there. Both trees are connected with the words in the midst. Isn't it amazing? Genesis 2 and 9, look at this. Genesis 2 and 9, the Bible says this. The Bible said, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Some might say, well, in the midst of the garden was the tree of life. And I'd say you're exactly right. But he goes on to say, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil also. They were both placed and planted in the midst of a garden. Do you know that phrase, in the midst, has a relationship to both trees? The Bible said in John chapter 19 and verse 18, the Bible said, where they crucified him. And two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And I'm glad he's in the midst.
Amen.
Hey man, somebody wrote a good song about that one time, didn't he? He's in the midst. He's in the midst of our storms. He's in the midst of our lives. Amen. But thank God he was in the midst of the garden. Amen. Just as both trees have a relationship. Hey, there's a resemblance of both of them being in the garden. It was where both took places of death. And both of them we find in the midst associated with. Both trees. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is where all the world can see the knowledge of good and evil, like we see the one on Calvary. The devil said, they thou eat thereof, thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. Do you know partaking of that tree gave them knowledge of good and evil? Do you know when the same thing, partaking of this tree, the tree of Calvary, the tree on which our Savior died, gives knowledge of good and evil? Think about what knowledge it brings. It's in this tree, the tree of Calvary. Amen. Where we see God as good and evil at the same time. We see the goodness incarnated within this tree. I mean, it was the goodness of God that leadeth us in repentance. It was the goodness of God that he would take upon him the form of a man and be made it like as a man. and die on an old cross for you and I. Hey, what do I see on that tree when I look at Calvary's tree? I see the goodness of God. I learn of God's goodness. Hey, we learn of God's holiness being displayed. Hey, the Holy One dying for the unholy. Hey, the righteous, the just for the unjust. Amen. Hey, I see the goodness of God displayed on Calvary. I see it on that tree. I see the matchless love and the grace of the deity unveiled as never before on that tree. Hey, you've never seen love and mercy until you've seen Calvary, amen. Hey, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hey, you've never seen goodness till you looked at Calvary, amen. Goodness is being blind from our eyes by this old world. But no man ever loved us like God. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was in that tree that God said, the day you eat thereof, that tree of knowledge and good and evil, you'll have a dose of it. You know what we see on the second tree, the tree of Calvary? We see the goodness of God. But not only do we see the goodness of God, but at the same time we see the evilness of man. In one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they received both. They saw the wickedness, they saw the goodness. But when we look at the tree of Calvary, we see God's goodness in display like never before, but we see evil. Hey, we see the climax of the creature's wickedness. I mean, what evil is displayed with on Calvary? Yes, the goodness of God on one side, but you see the evilness of man. As we said, you see the rugged and cruel crowd that's gathered around and has beat him with a cat of nine tails, has nailed him on a tree that they made by themselves, amen. Hey, to ascend the Lord up to be mocked, amen, and ridiculed and die for the sins of mankind. Hey, you see evil on display on the cross of Calvary. Evil. Pilate said, in this man I find no fault at all. But you see the evilness of man that they want to have him killed. And they said, well, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And you see wickedness on display on the cross of Calvary. You've never seen wickedness like that. Hey, a man that knew no sin was made sin for you and I. And we deserve death. You know we all do. Someone has said it bears to be repeated over and over. We all deserve to be in hell with our back broke if we got what we all deserved. But He didn't deserve it. We see evil. We see knowledge of good. But we see the evil. We behold as nowhere else the vilest and awfulness of sin as it appears in the sight of a thrice holy God. You've never seen good until you've seen Calvary. But you have never seen the vilest wickedness till you look there also. What a comparison between the two. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the tree on Calvary's hill. We see that evil. There's another tree besides this one. That was planted in the Garden of Eden. That second tree, the cross of Christ, and all it stands for is the very meat and marrow of the believer's life. It is good for food for the soul, and it's pleasant to the eyes of faith. Oh, what a tree. When we look at that tree, which represents life for all mankind, the reconciling of sinners back to a holy God. Where evil was displayed in an awful fashion. But as we look at that tree through the eyes of faith, we see something pleasant for you and I. Yes, it's awful to look upon on the fact of how cruel His death was. But to the eye of faith, looking through the cross of Calvary brings hope to a lost soul. That a sinner that's been pulled away from God, has been driven out of the garden, and can be brought back into a relationship by putting faith in that tree and that death and that blood that was shed. Hey, it's pleasant to the sight of the believer when he looks to Calvary. And it's food to his soul. It is there that we see our sins blotted out. Amen. Hey, the guilt of our sin. We see and we see the cross of Calvary. We see that we are condemned and we should have been the one that was dying. We see the evilness of sin, but we also see the goodness of God, that that evilness that was brought on Him can bring life to you and I. Hey, what a two-edged sword. What is piercing within our heart. Hey, convicting us of the sin of our own lives that placed Him on the cross. But if we put faith in that cross, it'll bring life to our soul. What a tree. There we see our old man crucified. We see the ground upon which a holy God can meet a guilty sinner.
Yeah, amen.
What a tree.
Amen.
What a contrast. What a comparison. Thank God for Calvary's tree. You know what I see when I see Calvary's tree? It's a place where a reconciled sinner can come. You know, there's only one way to reconcile your life to God, and that's through the tree. It's at the foot of Calvary. It ain't at the foot of the Pope, and it ain't at the foot of the preacher, and it ain't at the foot of baptismal steps. Hey man, it ain't at the foot of your good deeds and you taking another step in the right direction. It's at the foot of Calvary. Hey, level ground's at the foot of Calvary. Oh, gotta come guilty before God and see the evilness of the tree, but see the goodness that it can give to those that partake of it. Truly, this tree is pleasant to the eyes. You know what we see? We see the finish work of our Redeemer in this tree. The second tree is also a tree that is desired to make one wise. It's not only pleasant to the eyes and good for food for the soul, but it's a tree that'll make one wise. This tree can make us wise unto salvation. Look in Genesis chapter number 18. Let me give you this little thought in closing. The two trees. What a contrast. What a comparison. What a God that designed it to reconcile man where it was all lost. One tree took life from man, the other one gave life. One tree was forbidden to partake of, the second one was made for all to partake. One tree was beautiful to look upon in the flesh, the other one was awful. But by faith, how beautiful it is. Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 1, the Bible said, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Speaking of Abram, God's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for its wickedness. I believe we're not far away from him trying to do it. Our world today, for the wickedness, is the same as Sodom and Gomorrah's. And the Lord showed up in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And look what Abram said to the angel of the Lord. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Verse 8, he said, after he had went and done what he said, he took the butter and milk and the cap which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Do you know what we know about the tree of Calvary? It's a tree just as in type over here with Genesis. It's a tree where man can find rest. Hey, all that are weary and heavy laden, let him come into God and find rest for his souls. He can eat and sup of the goodness of God if he'd come set under that tree that God has planted. Hey, that he allowed man to place in the ground. He allowed man to hewn down, amen, and nail the Savior there. And it might bring life to mankind one day. I think about Exodus chapter number 15. When the children of Israel are going through the wilderness. And they come up on Myra, that water that was bitter to drink. And they tried to drink of the water and they couldn't drink. It was so bitter. Amen, it was so bitter to drink of. And Moses looked and he cried to the Lord and said, they can't drink and they're cursing and they're dying. And they need some help. And God said, look over there in that tree. And the Bible said that Abraham took and cut down that tree. And he threw that tree in the midst of that water. And that bitter water became sweet. Hey, I'm telling you today, the cross of Calvary can be bitterness to your soul of a sinner, but it can bring life and sweetness to the soul of a repentant sinner that had come to God. Hey, the tree was placed there to bring life to mankind and give him rest. God said, why don't you come partake of the tree? It was a tree that reversed everything that the first tree had brought. And that tree was Calvary. Are you saved today? You know the only hope you got is in that tree? The only hope you got is in the tree of Calvary. And it's an awful sight to look upon. But the only way anybody's ever going to be born again is if they'd see themselves condemned because of the death of Jesus Christ. It was my sins that placed him there. It was your sins that placed him there. Well, he willfully hung on that tree and allowed man to do what they did to him. That one day it might bring rest to their souls and sweetness to their bitterness. Do you know this old world make bitterness out of our lives? But that old tree can bring sweetness to your soul. You know what the devil says? Keep eating the first tree. Keep having your time. Keep having your day. Be your own God. But the Lord is standing there with stretched out arms on that tree and said, come eat of mine. Come eat of the one that won't destroy you. One that I've never forbidden from you. The one that would bring you life. The one that would reinstore peace in your soul. Hey, the one that would give you happiness and hope and rest and sweetness, amen, that you've never known before. What tree have you ate of? Will you come to God's tree? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Two trees. One life. You've got a choice. You can have of the tree the devil wants you to have, or you can have of the one God wants you to have.